Hello, we are reading from Kabbalah for the Student, page 23, The Essence of the Wisdom of Kabbalah, abstract names. You can find the text on Kabbalah Media. So again, Kabbalah for the Student, page 23, abstract names. Many believe that all the words and the names in the wisdom of Kabbalah are a kind of abstract names. This is so because it deals with godliness and spirituality, which are above time and space, where even our imagination has no hold. For this reason, they have decided that surely these matters speak only of abstract names, or even more sublime and exalted than abstract names, as they are completely and from the outset devoid of elements that are imagined. But that is not the case. On the contrary, Kabbalah uses only names and appellations that are concrete and real. It is an unbending rule for all Kabbalists that anything we do not attain, we do not define by a name and a word. Here you must know that the word attainment implies the ultimate degree of understanding. It derives from the phrase, that thy hand shall reach. That means that before something becomes utterly lucid, as though gripped in one's hand, Kabbalists do not consider it attained, but understood, comprehended, and so on.
Questions? Meaning, attainment is the last degree of understanding, actualization and acquisition of the state in controlling it with our emotion, with our intellect, in doing it. Meaning, everything that we have in that state that I attain. Attain meaning that I am that state.
Is there some kind of attainment before spirituality?
Just as it's telling us, understanding of such partial perceptions.
Oh, what does it mean? Can you somehow feel the Creator before you're in attainment? You reach attainment?
Also, yes. How? I don't know. When it will come, you'll know how.
But it's not called attainment, then.
Attainment means you understand everything. Degrees below that have other names.
So it's still before you're in spirituality, right?
No, also in spirituality, when a person is there, he's in various stages of understanding, perception, and feeling.
So, when you have no attainment or understanding or whatever, what does the Creator want from you?
This I don't know. I stopped speaking to you about these questions. The Creator wants only one thing. For you to learn from the wisdom of Kabbalah what you have to do. And not to look for what the Creator wants from me. That's an excuse. No.
No.
We're continuing to study. Please.
The actuality of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Actual things are found even in the corporeal reality set before our eyes, although we have neither perception nor image of their essence. Such are the electricity and the magnet called fluidum. Nevertheless, who can say that these names are not real? when we vividly and satisfactorily know their actions. We could not be more indifferent to the fact that we have no perception of the essence of the subject itself, namely electricity itself. This name is as tangible and as close to us as though it were entirely perceived by our senses. Even little children are familiar with the word electricity, as well as they're familiar with words such as bread, sugar, and so on. Moreover, if you wish to exercise your tools of scrutiny a bit, I shall tell you that, as a whole, as there is no perception of the Creator whatsoever, so is it impossible to attain the essence of any of His creatures, even the tangible objects that we feel with our hands. Thus, all we know about our friends and relatives in the world of action before us are nothing more than acquaintances with their actions. These are prompt and born by the association of their encounter with our senses, which render us complete satisfaction, although we have no perception whatsoever of the essence of the subject. Furthermore, you have no perception or attainment whatsoever even of your own essence. Everything you know about your own essence is nothing more than a series of actions extending from your essence. Now you can easily conclude that all the names and appellations that appear in books of Kabbalah are indeed real and factual, although we have no attainment in the subject matter whatsoever. It is so because those who engaged in it have the complete satisfaction with their inclusive perception of its ultimate wholeness, meaning a mere perception of actions, prompt and born of the association of the upper light and its perceivers. However, it is quite sufficient, for this is the rule, all that is measured and extracted from His providence so as to be realized into the nature of creation is completely satisfactory. Similarly, one cannot wish for a sixth finger on one hand because the five fingers are quite sufficient.
Meaning, it's possible that we have questions from our intellect, from our mind, that we want to attain more than what is perceived in the five spiritual senses, from what we attain in the connection between us, and so on. But these questions are totally theoretical, and there is no deficiency for them. It does not exist. And there are other things we shall see. Not everything is over at the end of correction. It's simply the end of the correction of the vessels. And later on, there are other additional attainments and worlds and degrees. But what is he trying to tell us here? What we attain, the wisdom of Kabbalah, those are real, actual things, tangible things, lights inside the vessels that are the foundation. Just like in our world, even here, other than lights and vessels, we have nothing. And only because we use them incorrectly, they have no validity. And that's why it's called the imaginary world. Questions?
So what does a person grasp if he doesn't perceive the Creator or himself or those around him or anything?
He grasps the actions of the lights in the vessels, and from that he comes to an understanding and a recognition, consciousness of all of reality. And the Creator as well has there's a depiction for him, a description inside a man in a complete way.
What a person sees before his own eyes, this is the action of the lights and vessels, even though that he don't understand it?
You're talking about this world, the beast?
even about ourselves. I'm not talking about an ordinary person. I'm talking about a person that develops according to the wisdom of Kabbalah. According to what it says here, a person doesn't perceive anything. So, what does it, even before that, what does he perceive?
Before that, he perceives nothing. He only develops his ability to be closer to acts, actions of bestowal.
And what does it mean that you start perceiving reality?
That inside your vessels, you can locate, you can imagine, you can establish actions of bestowal. Everything inside your vessels. There's nothing besides you. What you feel in your field is, it means that you feel it in your field of feeling, and it means in your will to receive. There you build all sorts of desires and images and that you want to do good to, including the Creator who is in your will to receive. Everything, you live inside the desire.
To live inside the desire, isn't that to perceive reality?
That is reality.
So you do perceive yourself.
You perceive reality that you establish for the time being.
So what does it mean where he says that a person doesn't even grasp himself?
In a real way, who are we? Who's the Creator? What is the true reality? We can't grasp that. Because we're still in a reality that's completely controlled by a program called the desire to receive pleasure.
So in this process where you're in an unrealistic reality, is there something that you can say that is real in this unreal thing? Is there something that you can say, okay, this is reality?
There are such things. Gradually we begin to establish forms that are more real.
Only that which is in direction of the soul, that's called the true reality, true perception?
Yes, because this is the Creator.
So your entire reality, which is to receive all the time, is not real?
Not only it's not real, it doesn't exist. It exists only in my imagination.
No. Ken.
What is the correct attitude we should develop toward our five corporeal senses?
The correct attitude to those five senses is that they give us a certain form of reality in which we exist for the time being. That helps us exist, start our work. But our work is beyond these five senses. I begin to be in an environment where there is bestowal and love and connection, and it's completely not depicted in my five beastly senses. I'm starting to build a new system of relationships. And these five senses are only for the sake of initiating existence. Someone will read the book, someone will hear the words, but then when we later begin to work according to the book and the words and our point in the heart, this is already a reality that's above this donkey.
Our physical senses will never merge with the spiritual ones. There's always disconnection.
No. This donkey lives as long as we need it. And then it is cancelled. Understand that it doesn't exist. That's why it's called imaginary world. It doesn't exist in this world in this way. We are working with him only in order to establish above him a spiritual degree. And also, with him together exist the spiritual degrees. He doesn't bother us, because the form in which he exists, our will to receive in our physical body, it's not the will to receive. It's an animal. The will to receive, our ego, our evil inclination, is only above this donkey, in the degrees where we want to connect and where we can't. Then we discover the evil inclination that resists connection. That's why this corporeal form is only a launch pad. It's a starting point. But it's not even opposed to spirituality. It's like a camel and the silk that he carries. Okay?
What I don't understand is, are the degrees of attainment that he talks about here.
As much as you can adopt the form of the Creator on top of what you have, that's the meaning of rising up the degrees.
Yeah, but if suppose we attain the very first degree, where does the chisaron for something more comes from?
The deficiency awakens from that same point in the heart. The deficiency awakens. It's not our business. It always awakens.
So the state of attainment, it's whole, perfect, and there's a chisaron that awakens toward it, or it's incomplete to begin with?
It's complete. It's the attainment of the degree in which the shimur from the next degree appears. And that's how it works. Yes, Tzvika?
Toward the end, he says, just like a person cannot wish for a sixth finger because the five fingers are quite sufficient. So I'm trying to ask, how did I come to Kabbalah if I'm not sufficient?
Possible something was missing. They didn't ask you.
How can a person come to Kabbalah if he doesn't feel a lack?
How do you know what's missing or not? They just say that the sixth finger will not be missed. You can cry as much as you want, but it's not a true cry.
The question is, why is a person drawn to Kabbalah at all?
From the one who in whom the desire awakens.
But why, how?
If someone has a desire awakened in him.
A desire for what?
The wisdom of Kabbalah.
A desire for Kabbalah.
Desire. He hears, or is he becoming deaf?
You know, there are only a few people in the world that are attracted to this. What causes a person to go?
Deficiency. It's possible that a person has a deficiency. It's not for a sixth finger. It's for what am I alive? What for? What do I get out of it? Who's the creator? In which world do I live? What's the point of life, of living? Many people are asking this. Everyone has a connection to the wisdom of Kabbalah. Your question is irrelevant. Every person. The only question is he in some form of contact with it or not? Is this question burning or not? Typically, this question burns in a negative way. They have hatred to the wisdom of Kabbalah. Some people are attracted to it. But Baal Shem Tov says it doesn't matter whether he likes it or he hates it, but he feels some attitude towards it. That's it. It's like in the Creator. No, I don't want, and there isn't, and I don't want, and I hate him, and I'm an atheist. No, and there's someone who said, no, I'm a theist, I believe. So you have both kinds. But both are connected to what is called the upper force. One says, there isn't, and the other says, there is. But both append themselves to this reality called the upper force. It doesn't matter that one says for and one says against. The same with the wisdom of Kabbalah. All those who are against and they're burning in order to burn Kabbalists and hang me, all those are actually close to the wisdom of Kabbalah.
I'm reading what Bala Sulam writes here, that they come as a result of the acquaintance of our senses with whatever it is that gives us a completely satisfactory feeling.
It's always like that, because we never penetrate into the spiritual essence. Rather, we only receive a certain impression from them, and this impression arranges our will to receive in different forms, and that's enough for us. Out of that we attain. I watch on television, on my computer screen, different things, yeah? I see a bear walking in the forest, and suddenly he sees... Who does he see? Red Riding Hood lying under a bush somewhere. Beautiful little girl. Now he wants to eat her. I have a feeling for that. I do. I even cry. What am I getting? This picture. I'm receiving an impression to such an extent that I'm moved. It seems very real to me. How do you explain that? Meaning we receive forms of what's happening or what can happen, and we live from those forms. How do I see you now? You're imaginary. Everyone here, forms, imaginary forms. I receive you, you enter me, I illustrate you inside my feelings, my thoughts, and from them I'm impressed.
Okay, Little Red Riding Hood, I understand, but what about Kabbalah?
And yourself, you don't understand this way.
No, but... Okay, this I understand, your example, but...
Which is not real.
Okay.
That's enough for you.
How is Kabbalah related to all this? It's a movie or what?
Yeah, they present this movie to me, and because this movie is projected inside my desire, I'm impressed from my desire. Okay. Go on the internet, and there are a few series like that about Red Riding Hood, and...
Toronto?
Slava from Vancouver is asking, everything comes from the Creator, including actions, thoughts, and even my efforts the Creator gives me. Then what depends on me?
On me depends a desire that the Creator will perform the correction on me as quickly as possible so I could be like Him as soon as possible. That's what's up to me. Accelerate this evolution. To give this entire process a positive sign. And it all depends on the environment, how much we'll act towards one another, with the importance of the spiritual development, which is all in connection. In each and every degree, the difference between one and the other is only the intensity or level of connection. What did we do from yesterday? With the presentation of the Congress. Who can say? Did we do something with it? Did we advance somehow? Did we take a step towards some scrutiny? Okay, let's hope that we'll have something today. I want to attain what we're planning to attain in the Congress before the Congress. And the Congress will change the whole program, the order, all of our activities. The important thing is that now there's something clear before us. Let's press on it, not in a month and a half. Let's pressure on it to happen today, tomorrow, and that's how it is. We must advance. That's it? Something is in the air. Read. What can I tell you?
Page 24, the corporeal terms and the physical names and books of Kabbalah.
Any reasonable person will understand that when dealing with spiritual matters, much less with godliness, we have no words or letters with which to contemplate. This is because our whole vocabulary is but combinations of the letters of our senses and imagination. Yet, how can they be of assistance where there are neither imagination nor senses? Even if we take the subtlest word that can be used in such matters, meaning the word upper light or even simple light, it is still imaginary and borrowed from the light of the sun, or a candlelight, or a light of contentment one feels upon resolving some great doubt. Yet, how can we use them in spiritual matters and godly ways? They offer the examiner nothing more than falsehood and deceit. It is particularly so when one needs to find some rationale in these words to help one in the negotiations customary in the research of the wisdom. Here the sages must use rigorously accurate definitions for the eyes of the observers. And should the sage fail with but a single unsuccessful word, he is certain to confuse and mislead the readers. They will not understand at all what he is saying there, before it, after it, and everything connected to that word, as is known to anyone who examines books of wisdom. Thus one should wonder, how is it possible for Kabbalists to use false words to explain the interconnections in this wisdom? Also, it is known that there is no definition through a false name, for the lie has no legs and no stance. Indeed, here you need to have prior knowledge of the law of root and branch, by which the worlds relate to one another.
Meaning there are no names in the wisdom of Kabbalah that we call things like, you know, like planets. That there's a lady and we name a planet after this lady. There's no such thing in Kabbalah. Rather, the name that we give to a certain object, spiritual object, expresses, symbolizes its quality, its degree, its intensity, its role completely. That's how it is. And that's why it has this gematria, this numeric value that captures everything that exists inside this spiritual object and explains to those who understand all of its content.
Yesterday, when we talked about the script, we said that we're like these stones in a big pot that's on the stove, and we have to melt together.
We have to boil us, yeah?
Yeah, that the heat has to reach such a degree that every rock will melt and will be able to unite this script.
Yes.
So how do we do it? How can we continue doing it today?
If you started today and yesterday, and that's how you came to today, I see that you fell under this cooling.
Yesterday there was a very
special Yeshivat Chavarim, very different for the very first time, with sources, workshops, five people. There was something special about it. So I tried to imagine that we're in this melting pot. What is it exactly? What is the fire?
The fire is how much we can ignite ourselves towards connection.
What do you mean? How do you do it?
If this is not for now, try to go back to the sources and explain to one another. For now, we have Toronto.
Rav, the point in the heart, is it also a raw material that requires a form, a masach?
The point in the heart is the beginning of our work. It exists in everyone. This, when it awakens in someone, this person begins his process towards correction. The fact that a person receives from above, that's what he receives as the beginning of his spiritual life. Accordingly, he's called Israel, Yashar Kel, straight to the Creator. If he has a point in the heart, he has a tendency for attaining the Creator. What else next? Daily task. What's up today?
Toronto,
Toronto daily task.
The daily task for today. During the day, we keep renewing our plea to the Creator. We remind each other that everything comes from Him and thank Him for that. Once again, during the day, we are renewing our plea to the Creator. We remind each other that everything comes from Him and thank Him for that.
The Zohar lesson. You're invited this evening for the Zohar lesson live with Dr. Lightman at 6 p.m. Unity event, all of us as one. Everyone's invited for the Unity event in Petah Tikva. We'll have workshops, Yeshivat Chavarim, a lesson, many more good things. And the Kabbalah Lam College is happy to invite you for an introductory lecture. For the details, cub.coil. And let's sing a song.
נחזור הדמעות מלוכות כמו הים הניצות שבנו כמו אור אלפי דרכים בעולם רק אחת תוביל אל הדרור בין השמחות והדמעות איך נדע מה לבחור איך נדע החיים מהאמת רואים מפוך מגבוה רואים נמוך איך נדע החיים הם נדע מהאמת רואים מפוך מגבוה רואים נמוך כשאהבה רחוקה מהלב הגעגוע גובר מורח ילדות שנצרח עוד מהבית הישן בחצר בליבו של כל אדם יש ניצות של אהבה כמו כינור ומיתרה כמה יפה מה